Cross up ready on the building. Gotta be Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is. Talking about the way the world is.
It's Crawl
now.
Talk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engage listeners on topic. Discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors. Ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room. It's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truths that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome to Cross Talk. This your man Steph Swig.
It's your boy Big Pudge.
Yeah, we got a great show ahead of you, but unfortunately, my partner doesn't even know what it's going to be about. This is our mystery show. It's our first mystery show we're doing, which means we're not releasing the title. We're going to just talk about different topics that we want to talk about, and y'all going to listen, but y'all will not know what we're talking about. And all the topics we're going to talk about have nothing to do with each other, so you can't even segue and try to figure out where we're segueing.
Right, I don't even know where we're
Ladies and gentlemen, Punch don't even know what's going on. I got a topic we're going to talk about. He has no clue whatsoever what we'll be talking about. We can be talking about his life. We can be talking about his personal life. He don't have no clue. We could be interrogating him right now. He has no clue. But to ease your mind and his mind, we won't be talking about Pudge today. We're talking about different things.
Thank you.
First off, now I say I want to do this show because mystery shows are cool. Second of all, we always ask people to give us topics to talk about and different things, and people have questions. So we had a lot of topics, but none of the topics really stemmed off to like, the answers would be so short it wouldn't have a show. So what I did is took every topic that people asked us to talk about and that we can talk about in a short 45 minutes we're going to do the show and put them on one show.
That's good.
Make sense?
Okay.
So first off, I want to talk about this one. Someone hit me up and said, should you let a homeless person stay with you? And I'm talking to everybody about you. And let me explain by homeless, because the technical definition of homeless is someone who doesn't have a home.
Okay.
But a lot of times people think of homeless people as just people down on the corner, you know, sleeping on the streets. And that's homeless too. So I don't know which way they were going with the question, but I will answer the question from my standpoint. Would I let a homeless person stay with me? I personally have let people who did not have a place to stay with me stay with me, in that sense, someone who didn't have a home. However, it wasn't a random stranger I met on the street or nothing like that. And so, but to answer that question from my perspective, either way it goes, you know, as a believer, I feel like we're supposed to help people if we can. Mm-hmm. Also, as a wiser believer, after that,
I like that.
You
wiser
have to
believer.
Have discernment from the Holy Spirit, because even though you want to help somebody, that might not be the right move for you to have them come into your home.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
So, and that's been my experience every time I've let a couple people stay with me, and it just really was the wrong move. I guess I did it for the wrong reason. I think because I felt like because I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to do this thing.
Right.
But it wasn't. I didn't feel led to do it. I was like, well, if I can help, I can help. But that might have not been the way I was supposed to help.
Right. Right.
Well, how you feel, Pudge? You ever let a homeless person stay with you?
No, not a homeless person. Yes.
Like technically, not like a person from the street, but just like a random stranger. But
yeah,
a
not like new. Of course, I've fed several random strangers, but I have never let someone randomly stay in my home, but I have let
somebody who's technically homeless, you know what I'm saying, come live with me before that. I can't do nothing but agree because, you know, there's times where, I let a specific person come stay when I was much in my 20s, and, you know, I didn't think nothing of it. I'm just like, you know, he trying to get his head started, trying to get his feet on the ground and stuff like that. But, you know, and I wanted to be, you know, like you say, a good Christian, you know. But it was definitely the 1,000% wrong move to make, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's one of them things where you gotta ask yourself, to the believers, you gotta just ask God, use discernment. If this is how I'm supposed to help, to the people who don't believe, just check your energy. You know if you feel right about helping this person as far as letting them stay in your home or not. If you don't feel right, then it's most likely you're probably not supposed to. You probably maybe help them with somebody. You might help them get in a hotel room, help them get in a shelter. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. There's still ways you can help.
Driving to another family member's house.
Who can deal with that? You know what I'm saying? Or y'all get along very well. You can tell y'all characters are going to work just right.
Exactly. But it ain't always the move for you to do that.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's true. That's all I got on that one.
See, I'm talking about short topics.
Yeah, that's all I got on that one.
See, I got some deeper ones, though. But anyway, Come As You Are, I want to talk about that one.
I
had a conversation with someone related to you, and they asked me about that as well. And we got to talking about it. And he said he's at church, and they got onto him about wearing, I guess he had like shorts and a tank top. Not like he's wearing drawers and a beater or nothing like that. And they asked him about that. And it's like they said, I bet you won't wear it to your other church. And they said, yeah. I would. And he said, they say come as you are. And he said, I guess they mean it when they say it there.
Right.
And he had me laughing when he said that. Like,
cause and it's exactly who that was. Sounds like I helped create him.
But it's a true statement, but it's a valid topic because apparently the come as you are slogan is not in the Bible. However, I do believe it is a biblical principle because you don't have to prepare yourself to come to Christ at all.
Right.
You don't have to prepare to do that. But when it comes to churches, people tend to put that shield up sometimes.
They do.
This is all my personal opinion. I think a lot of times when people get so technical, they miss out on what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, to an extent, come as you are. Like, it's like, you want to wear something that's appropriate, like not like revealing, like you don't want to come in booty shorts and a bra to church, you know what I'm saying? But if that's all you have, then by all means, still come. And then people should not make them feel any kind of way. If anything, someone should call them to the side and see what's going on.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, it's like when church say come as you are, people, they come as they are, and then that means to church standing. Like some people mean come as you are, maybe you can have a casual day. Right. Like not wear a tie. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we don't have to dress up.
No, but, we don't.
You know, but like I told him, it's like he's upset because they make him take his hat off. I said, I understand that too. I don't agree with it. But at the same time, if you go to different countries, each country has a different custom. So some things, it's just disrespectful to them. You don't have to understand why. If you go, maybe in Japan, you might have to take your shoes off to go in the house. I don't know.
Right.
But I don't do that here. Doesn't mean anything. This guy is going to love me more or less because I take my shoes off, leave them on. But at the same time, you should respect the house that you're going in.
Right.
Now, far as being a church and turning people away because they're wearing tank tops and shorts.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. That upsets me. It actually offends me as a believer.
That's crazy.
Because at the first thing you're missing the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this person is coming to your church.
Right.
Even if you feel it's not how they're supposed to dress, you don't turn them away, even talk about it. Just love them. They in church because they want to be there. They came to church because they need help. They want to meet God. They want to get close to God.
Mm-hmm.
Something is lacking in their life, so they decide to come to church.
Right.
They need to be met with welcome arms.
Right.
Open welcoming arms, because the street's going to welcome them in a heartbeat.
Regardless.
And so that's my take on it. What you got on that, Push? Because I be seeing you dressed at your church. And
you
sharp as a tack at your church.
No, boy, he lying.
I see those basketball.
I'm sharp as a tack on certain given Sundays. Like
those are photos you post on Facebook.
Exactly. Those be the ones I post. And the reason why I do that is because so many people talk about how they don't see me dressed up. So when I actually do dress up, I'm like, y'all better get all these pictures in. I'm going to get them in myself so folks can actually see.
Is that you treat church like a fashion show.
No.
It's just that
when people actually come, my church people dress up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They're now getting into the point where they are coming as they are for real, not caring what anybody is saying. This is what I will say. I have never been a dress-up person. I have always had to experience somebody having an issue with what I have on because I'm in God's house. and I'm never coming in half naked. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I mean, for the longest time, man, my first time ever wearing shorts in church was just this year.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Because I always felt like it was some sort of disrespect because that's what it felt like because that's how people made me feel coming to his house, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, with shorts on. And then I'm realizing that God ain't feeling no type of way if I got shorts on or not. This is how people have made me feel.
Yeah, and the point being, people act like God don't see what you do when you don't come to church. Like,
exactly.
I wore shorts in front of God all the time.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm not going to change that because I'm in church.
Right.
Now, I will wear a more appropriate attire. Like, I'm not going to wear a raggedy, ripped-up shirt. That's just, I just want to be presentable.
Right. Now, I do feel like it's, I do feel like it's wrong if the leader of that house or the shepherd of that house is really does mean come as you are, and you have people in the congregation, or mainly people like the ushers or gatekeepers, what they call them now.
Yeah.
Telling people that they inappropriate for what they have on. Like, that's not cool.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because it automatically makes the church and the shepherd look like the whole body feels like that.
Yeah.
Because of one person pulling somebody to the side, tripping about a tank top, you know?
Yeah.
Now, the fact that I've been going to church all my life, you know, what I've learned when it comes to churches is, yes, majority of churches don't really mean come as you are. Like you said, they mean, oh, you ain't got to wear a tie today. Oh, you wear a sweater instead of a suit today. You know what I'm saying? Like, dress down and casual. We don't really mean come with no shorts on and no ball cap on your head. You know, we just mean come a little less dressed than how you would. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, that's all man-made.
Yeah, it is.
And it's now, don't get me wrong, man. I do understand the structure because I know I don't want people to think I'm saved, but I'm just anti my people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do think that about me. I do understand structure. I do understand that man-made rules had to be made to put structure when it comes to church, just like it is when it comes to any other business. You have to have some kind of structure.
I agree.
I do get that. It's only an issue when you're harping over the man-made structure over the love of God.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So that's my whole thing. It's not cool that somebody, now mind you, and I'll, cause I was somebody who would get lit. Okay, so I'm gonna just be honest. So I used to get highly upset with gay women that would come to church with ball caps on. Pissed off.
Yeah.
And the reason why is, cause I'm looking at y'all like, I can't come in here with a damn hat on. So why
So it wasn't even about that. It was more like, you're right. So if you're in the fridge, like, yo, if I can't do it, they can't do it either.
Right. So it wasn't even about their gender or what they choose. It's about you showing favoritism to somebody who claims to be what I am, but they want to be a woman when it's time to keep a hat on in church, but they want to be a dude the whole time outside of that. That's double standard all day long. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, how can you now? And I actually like did some. Like, you know, I actually put a post up about this a few years back, and I just kind of, like, went off, you know what I'm saying? And I had to, you know, I didn't take it down. People kept telling me to take it down. I didn't, you know, because I was always in my feelings. And I was just like, yeah, I may be raw by how I'm saying it, but you can't exclude my fact.
Yeah.
My fact is they want to be men, they not men, but they want to be women when it's time to keep a hat on in church.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't right, bottom line. But I'm out of that, to me. And I used to be one of the people where I felt like wearing a ball cap was. I felt like if you could leave the club, and if you get dressed up for church and like you going to the club, why are you coming to God's house looking like that?
Okay,
that's what I always felt.
Yeah,
I have now understood and realized that some people, honestly, they don't know how to dress any other, you know, saying way other than that. That's just I'm realizing now in this time and age that. You can't judge somebody by just them looking like they're going to the club, but actually coming to church. You can't judge somebody because they come to church with a hat on or somebody with a tank top on because, that, like you said, they're coming to church, which means they have a need, they have a want, and the fact that they walked up in God's house for it, we should leave them alone and let them have that.
Exactly.
So I've had to repent, you know what I'm saying, for my issues with, you know, the ball cap. The ball cap thing was the major thing, but like I said, it was just the principle of I would love to come to church with one of my hats on.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody look at me crazy or say nothing to me, but I know that's gonna happen, so I just don't.
Yeah.
So you know, so but it's a ultimately I don't think churches really mean that, sadly, but
Yeah, I agree, and I will say this though, but even I do believe in the come as you are with the clothes, but at the same time, there is a level of respectful attire.
Like, to God's house, it is.
Anywhere, not just God's house. I'm just talking about anywhere. Like, if you go into a supermarket, you still shouldn't come up and show up in just your drawers and your bra, although people do.
Very
like,
true.
You can't show up to work any kind of way, but I'm saying you should at least be presentable.
Very true.
But the other side of that is, what if that's all the person has? Like, what if it's a prostitute and she got off work prostituting and she walked into the church because she wants to change her life, and if she's met with that kind of attitude?
Yeah.
She might miss her appointment.
That's very good.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you might have turned her away from God. I think that's how God is, but that's how we're representing them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think in that situation, the usher should talk to him and maybe give him something. You know, like old school ushers to come and cover the little ladies' dress and stuff like that. Something like that is cool, but don't turn away. Don't make him even feel any kind of way. Welcome him into God's house and do it respectfully.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I heard people say, like, well, when they wear stuff like that, the church is distracting. But I'm thinking, if you're in church and you're focusing on the pulpit, how will someone else come in distracting you?
It's not hard, bro. Yeah, and I'm going to be sure about it. So the issue I had with the women in my church is them dressing like they going to the club. Now, I've been arguing with these women for like over a decade now. Just certain women, because they are very thick, you know, and I get their entire side of the coin, you know what I'm saying?
Their entire side is,
I had one person tell me they're not going to be dressed like no church mother coming to church.
Understand that.
They're going to be dressed like no church mom or the first lady, you know, because they always wear them old-fashioned suits with the hats and all this other stuff. I've had some, and it's because they're saying that's what I'm going to have to wear to completely be covered up because I'm thick. I got thick hips, breasts, booty. And a lot of women in my church are very thick. So
I'm about to come to your church.
Yeah, well, come on down.
I'm messing with you, but anyway.
But I get it. I get what they're saying. All I'm saying is, and I'll probably stand on this until God shows me something different, is why should your fashion matter when you come into God's house for something totally different?
Exactly.
So why should you care if you're looking like a church mother? Why should you care if you're looking like a first lady? Because you're not there for a fashion statement. True. Now, there are churches where the certain leaders, like if you're in a choir, will require for you to wear certain colors, your wardrobe and stuff like that. That will prong you to may have to go out and do a lot of extra shopping, because I do know people that are thick. They got a shop special for what they need anyway, and to look presentable and to not sidetrack. But it is a sidetrack. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay,
like you could be in the holies of the holies in the worship song. There's going to be a transition in the service. To where that's going to come down. Okay. And all you got to do is look to the right. You see a chick half naked, it's gone.
You
know what I'm saying? So my thing is, I'm strong enough to look and be like, oh my God. And then still get right back and be focused.
No, you probably look like, Lord Jesus.
No, I've seen it for over a decade. So I'm looking like, honestly, it used to sidetrack me and turn me on. But then I realized how much I was missing in the actual church. And now it's become more of a disgust to me simply because a lot of women are not, they're dressing to be provocative. They're dressing to get attention.
What I'm talking about. That's the line right there. That's a foul intention.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if they've been here for a decade, that's different.
No, I'm just saying I've been dealing with that issue forward. Not an actual woman or women. Like the woman I'm specifically talking about, I understand their views. None of them are dressing to be provocative or to get any attention. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I understand their views. It's just that I know for a 1,000% fact you can put on something else and not be busting out.
True. You know, Pudge, what I was thinking, like, what if we misinterpret, or a lot of people misinterpret when they say come as you are, for they're talking about how we dress or how, you know, in that area. But I think it might be the heart of that statement might mean come as you are as to where you are in your journey in life, like where you are spiritually. Like, some people feel like they have to be a certain way to come to church spiritually.
That's true.
Like, I'm not ready to go to church. I'm not coming to Christ because I got too much dirt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I wonder if churches mean it that way.
And you know what, man? I never looked at it like that. That would be awesome if they really did, because that really means that your heart is still pure towards the pre-believer or towards someone who just needs to be in church, you know? So if the original reason that was said because people just wanted you to come to God just like the way you are right then and there, that's awesome. You know
what
I'm saying?
That's how it should be.
That's how it should be. So if that's the case, we should really get back to that. If not, then we should start actually, you know, saying, like, referencing come as you are as to where you are with your life with him right now.
It don't matter who you are, what you've done, right. You're welcome here.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
come
saying?
Here. We accept you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, accepting the person, not just their outfits.
That's exactly. Exactly. Because once you actually understand the person, my thing is, once you have the fullness of the love of God in you, it's not going to matter.
It don't.
Like, what they wear, like you will still even be able to help cover that person up with one of the little shawls and whatnot, still do it in such a loving way where they'll just be so, they'll actually be wanting to really be covered up.
Yeah, not,
you're
in,
so
the,
loving
not in a condemning sense. Yeah, I
right,
feel,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that covers that topic right there. We're going to move on to another one called, we're going to talk about Age of Accountability.
Okay.
You know, I had a person ask me about that, you know, like we do at Crosstalk, when you want us to talk about something, we do our best to talk about it. So constantly,
right.
I want y'all to hit us up at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com if you want any more topics, because you know we get them out there. So anyway, Age of Accountability is something someone asked me to talk about. So I'm going to talk about the Age of Accountability. And I actually posed this question because I want to get some other people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share my opinion and what I've learned, but I'm also going to share some other opinions as well. Mostly, I'll share my opinion real quick. Most, you know, I personally think that it's the age of understanding, where you can actually understand, you know, right from wrong, heaven and hell, that kind of thing, the weight, the gravity of accepting Christ as your Savior.
Right.
I don't think there's a particular age you're accountable, in my personal opinion.
Right.
Nor did I find anything in the Bible that was supported one way or the other. Now, however, you know, I had people tell me, 12. A lot of people said 12. I was taught 12 as well. I don't know where that, I still don't know where that comes from. I'm not debunking
right.
it. I don't know where it comes from. Some people said 13. Now 13, that was kind of new to me, but I understood where it came from because a person
right.
said, well, my religion is 13. It's at the bar mitzvah.
Right.
You know, it's when in the Jewish customs, when a person's going from the bar mitzvah is when a boy goes from a child to a man, and it's, they have a ceremony called a bar mitzvah.
Right.
And I think they do the same for females. I'm not sure. But it's, I think it's still the same age.
Right.
So I can see where that age of accountability, why they would think that's the age of accountability. And that might be. It might be some truth to the 12-year-old part.
Right.
But, again, for me, I think it's at understanding, when you are able to understand and comprehend. Because even at 12, some people don't comprehend that.
That's true. And I guess it would be all about if the child is, I guess, like I said, competent enough to even understand right from wrong. It's funny you said that when we was talking about earlier. I actually realized my first spiritual experience, I actually felt God. I heard his voice. I felt his presence. I was 12.
Wow.
So it's and I don't know. Maybe something with that number 12.
Yeah.
Man, you know, say, you know,
it
that number's something significant in the word of God. So I don't know. I've never read a specific number. I do know in a lot of tribes in Africa, they still live the, you know, that the, in the way of still going out and killing what they eat for the day.
Yeah.
They, at the age of 12 is when they marry. At the 12 is when they become from a boy to a man. And I've seen one actual tribe where the 12-year-old girl was up against. 12-year-old girl was actually, you know, set and prepared to marry one of the two 12-year-old boys.
Yeah.
And they had
wow.
to they had to literally walk across a field of cows and not fall.
Mm.
And that would determine who she would marry.
Wow. That's
and
that, interesting.
That's the manhood part. That's
yeah.
the manhood part. And that you saw the older men do some kind of dance ritual around him, paint his face, braid his hair,
yeah.
and get him ready for manhood at the age of 12. So they actually go through like a bar mitzvah. They,
mm-hmm.
you know, they go through a whole ceremony.
Wow.
And some actually get married at that age, you know, at the age 12.
Hmm. There might be something to that, man. I wonder if it's a cultural thing, if it's a tribal thing, if it's a biblical thing. I don't know. 12 seems to be the consensus from what most people say, and that even kind of rings true for me when you talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, about that, I mean, I'm just looking at it like you said, it happened for you at 12.
Yeah.
You know, but see, the thing is, for me, you know, I think I think people learn and grow different rates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It's like, and the question's posed to me. I don't think, I have to be careful when you start speaking for God. Well, I don't think God is.
Yeah.
But my point is, in my personal opinion, I can understand how God can hold you accountable if you don't have the mental capacity to comprehend what you're accepting or not accepting.
That's true.
And, you know, and some people are born with learning impediments. Now I'm talking about, like, mentally, so some people just can't grasp stuff quickly as other people.
Right.
Or what about autistic kids? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's like, how do you handle that? Another thing is, you know, I understood right from wrong, heaven and hell, way before I got saved, way before 12.
Okay.
Like, when I was a kid, I literally asked God, was I going to go to heaven or hell? And this is way before 12. Wow. So if you're a kid and you're asking about heaven or hell, you know something's going on. And back then, I was just believing I can work my way into heaven. If I go to church and treat everybody right, you know, God, I can't see how God can turn. If I go to church, I'm thinking, I go to church every single Sunday right. and treat every person nice, you know, and don't cuss. And this is my mindset, don't cuss and all this other stuff. Right. Then I can go to heaven.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, if that was my understanding back then, I already knew, I was already beginning to know that I need to do something differently than what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? So so I look at it like, you know, in that if the age of accountability is at 12, what happens if someone gets that revelation before 12? What if they get it at 10? You know what I'm saying? What if they get it, you know, before then? You know what I'm saying? Right. So I don't think there's any specific age. I do think by 12 years old, you should know.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely by 25, you should know. But then again, if you're 25, you've never heard the gospel, you haven't even had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's people in this country who don't know about Jesus.
Right. Like, you know? Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was telling you earlier about, you know, my apostle was teaching us, you know, about people tainting your culture, your religion.
Yeah.
Not religion, your culture, what you believe.
Yeah.
And she's referencing these crusaders. I'm just calling them crusaders, but they went to this one of the places way out in the jungle in the country where, you know, these people have been there since their ancestors have been there. They don't know anything about America, the world. They go out, hunt, kill, eat, you know what I'm saying? Just like it did way back in the day. And these crusaders went out there and started telling them that they were wrong because they were walking around naked, you know, like Adam and Eve was.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I told them that it's disrespectful to Jesus because of how they're, certain things they're doing. They wind up killing them. They wound up killing the crusader, spiking them up and hanging them up. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And I'm not... it's sad they had to lose their lives, but they totally lack the love of God, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You don't go to an entire part of a country you're unfamiliar with, knowing these people know nothing about Western civilization, and then telling them that they're wrong about, you know what I'm saying, because of their way of life. And that's all that they know. That's very offensive, I'm assuming, to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it goes along with that saying. I mean, it's an easy saying, like, people don't care what you know until they know how much you care.
That's
good. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, even if they were wrong, you can't just walk up to somebody and just tell them they're wrong and expect them to receive it. It's all about how you present it.
Yes, it is. Yes,
like,
it
even is. We're talking to you and me, you know, there's a certain way I would approach you, like, yo, you know, I heard what you said the other day, whatever. You know, it's all about your approach. Most things I discover is about how you approach it. Even in the Bible, it says a gentle response turns away wrath.
It does.
So it's a certain way you need to approach these things. I think they were very zealous, but I definitely don't think they was wise in their approach.
Yeah.
Even hearing the story kind of offended me, and I'm not even in a tribe.
Right. Exactly.
Like, you have to understand when you're talking to people, you have to understand where they're coming from. Like, these people have been doing this for thousands of years.
Right.
You can't just come and say the way you've been living your life is wrong and God's not pleased.
Right.
Show them who God is and kind of segue into that. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so the age of accountability over there, you know, you said it was 12, you know?
Yeah.
But again, even in that situation, you know, it's possible that none of them, if they live in the way they have lived and they hadn't come into contact with any of those crusaders prior, the chance of them not hearing the gospel are very high.
Exactly.
So I don't see how they could be accountable for something they never heard. Not, you know, if you never heard about Jesus or salvation or the fact you need salvation, then I don't see how you can even be held accountable for that.
Right. I don't think God can hold you accountable. I don't believe God holds you accountable for things you don't know.
Because honestly, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. So how can he hold you? And he's a loving God, so he's not going to, you know, make you pay for something that you didn't know any knowledge of. You know, now I think, if you're not autistic, if your chemical balance is correct, I believe at a certain age, that chemical balance does set into where there's something in you that knows you're right, knows you're wrong, like knows what you're doing you ain't supposed to be doing, or knows what you're doing is the right thing to do.
Yeah, so I think so.
So I'm with you with that. I never, like I said, 12 is, I grew up here in 12. Me too. I just realized I had my experience at 12. Wow. Certain tribes and certain tribes in other countries do major thing, bar mitzvahs, you know, marriages at 12 in Africa, stuff like that. So, you know, true. It's one of the things where I think ultimately is what you're saying. It's in the mind of the child at a certain age.
I think so. Even with that bar mitzvah experience you gave or example you gave about them in Africa, you think about it here. 12 years old here, you ain't ready to marry nobody.
Nah.
There you go. People in their 30s ain't ready to marry people.
Man,
sometimes,
people in their
50s saying?
Still ain't ready, you know, to marry somebody, so
it's like,
man.
It's a difference in where you are, your culture, your upbringing. It's a whole bunch of different factors that calculates in. And if we can see that, and I'm sure God sees that because he sees all.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and people ask that question, and it's a very valid question because, you know, you do want to know the age of accountability. And I'm sure some parents out there are. I know some parents are concerned because they have kids in their household who are 12 or not saved and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, my kids were saved. All of them were saved, and I'm not sure what age they got saved. But I know I have 4 kids, and 3 of them got saved one year, and then I think the following year or a year later or 2 years later, the last one got saved.
Mm.
She wanted to be saved, but she wasn't ready to be saved. You know what I'm saying? But the thing was, you know, so even in that situation, they all came up in the same household, same teaching, same parents, and one kid wasn't ready. I'm not saying if she died, she wouldn't have went to hell. I'm not sure.
Right.
But the point is like everybody learns differently. Right. Everybody grows because she was exposed to the exact same teachings, everything, part of ministry, part of stuff that was so important. She put it on her bucket list to get saved.
That is dope.
And,
that is dope.
That was really cool. Wow. Like, you want to get saved, but if, like, you know, you have your desire, but for whatever reason, the spiritual part is not connected, so you're not ready. Because she said, I'm just not ready. I know what it means. I know I want to get saved, but I'm just not there yet. Like, and I respected that. So I didn't push her.
Right.
I just kept on doing what I've been doing, showing her love, teaching her the same stuff, letting her be a part of ministry, stuff like that. So when she got saved, she came home, she told me she got saved. She was like, I could see it on her.
Uh-huh.
And I felt she was about to get saved before she got saved. But I wasn't there when she got saved. But I could see it on her. She came home, she told me she got saved. We was happy about it. We hugged. And then she got out her bucket list book, and she brought her book over to me, and I watched her check it off. So that was a
dope.
Touching moment, man.
Yes,
it was dope.
Yes, that's dope.
So I want to encourage you, the parents out there who may be concerned about your kids, you know, just continue to love on them, continue to pray for them, continue to just pray, man, and, you know, seek God on that as far as the age of accountability. If they are at the age of accountability and they're not saved, you know, continue to expose them to Christ through you. They need to see you living it. If you're not living it, you can't expect them to live it. You can't expect to see Christ. We are the biggest example our kids have, the best witness our kids can have about Christ. If we're saved, it is our responsibility to show them who Christ is through how we love each other, by how we love our enemies, by how we honor him and how we teach his teachings to our children. To, you know, they need to see us living it out, not just saying it, not just taking them to church and leaving it up to the Sunday school teacher to teach them.
Right.
They need to see our devotion, our connection to Christ. They need to see who Christ is in us.
Right.
So if you have kids and you're concerned about them, you know, that's a valid concern, but also continue to pray, continue to show them who Christ is. And the Bible says if you lead them up in the way they should go, they won't depart from it.
Right.
They'll come back to it.
Right.
You know, so some kids don't get saved or before 12.
Right.
I was 20 when I got saved. You know, some of my kids was 13 and 14. That's after 12. But I want to encourage you to continue to minister to your kids, continue to sow into them, continue to make sure you're living right so they can see that. And that's all I got on the age of accountability, man.
Yeah, me too,
again,
man.
I didn't see anything in the Bible that would say 12. There is an age in the Bible. I told you before, I couldn't tell you the specific scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the New Testament. It may have been in Acts or in John. But what the situation was, someone was asking the parent something about their child. Something the child had seen. I think the child had saw a miracle or something performed. And it was asking the parents about the miracle that their child had seen.
Oh.
And the lady was like, no, go ask the child. He's at the age of accountability. But they never specified.
So what age it was.
So that tells me there is an age of accountability. He might have been 12. You never know.
Right. That's true.
So I would just say specifically just on my personal opinion, I don't see anything that would specifically say 12. I do think 12 is a great number.
Right.
So just keep on seeking. That's the answer. There's no specific definitive answer in the Bible. I would say 12 and at the age of understanding. That'd be my final answer.
That's
on
a
those,
good one.
You
that's
know?
A good one. That's a good one.
And segueing into next, we're talking about kids again on this one. This is going to be, this topic is a question you posed a while back, and I'm going to pose the same question just for the sake of the listeners out there. Mm-hmm. Is it okay, or should we teach our children to shoot guns?
Well, you know, absolutely. With me, you know, I definitely 100% agree on that. And it's funny because I had a lot of, I had like 76 comments.
72 was like yeses.
Yeah, honestly, like with no exaggeration, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, about 71 or 72 were all yeses. And wow. And I want to make this clear, it wasn't all black people that said yes either. You know, it was mixed races, and they all just agreed that for the most part there's a for protection and safety. And I have and everybody that said no didn't elaborate on no. They just said no, and I'm actually looking for some of the comments, you know, because I actually have, you know, some people actually gave some really good responses. And it's funny because this is something I've always been curious about. Just didn't really realize that these many people grew up with their parents already teaching them, you know, how to shoot. And you know, this one friend of mine from Alabama, she says, my children learned at 7. Son learned at 7, her daughter learned at 4. They are 16 and 13 and have clean, clear shots.
That's what I'm talking about.
I won't worry about them protecting their homes. I won't have to worry about them like protecting their homes. Me, as their mom, have been shooting since I was 5. We were taught the proper way to hold and situations. It's how and what you teach them that will make a difference.
I agree. Because some people are anti-gun because they think gun kill people. Guns do kill people, but a lot of stuff kills people.
Right.
But it's people with guns that kill people. But it's not every person with a gun means you're going to kill people. Some people, you know, we in the South, so a lot of folks down here have guns and they know how to shoot. They've been shooting since they were 7 years old because they went hunting with their dad and their dad went hunting with their dad.
Man, it's a lot of comments I hear about that, too.
You know
what
I'm saying? So, but at the end of the day, just because you teach someone how to shoot, that don't mean you're teaching them and telling them to kill people. You teach them how to defend themselves, like a just in case. They don't want to take a life. Right. You know, we're not teaching them, hey, if somebody pissed you off, go shoot them up in the club. We're not teaching that.
Right.
We're teaching, if this happens, this is the last resort, but you are prepared if this happens. If someone breaking your house, trying to kill you in your household, you want to be prepared to protect yourself and your family.
That's true.
So personally, I don't have a problem with teaching my kids how to shoot. All my kids, actually, I think every one of my kids have shot a shotgun and a handgun.
Right.
And, you know, guns are no big deal in my house. My kids know where my gun is. I showed them when I first got the gun. I didn't ask them how they felt about guns. I just showed them and told them we had a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted them to see it because a lot of times when parents have the gun, they hide it from their kids, and kids are going to find a gun and playing with it.
Right.
I wanted to take the glamour away from it. I told them about how to respect the gun, how to respect lives, and how to handle a gun. I told them if they ever want to see the gun, they're going to ask me. And I'll whip it out for them, let them hold the gun, whatever they need to see about the gun, because I don't want them to ever feel like they got to sneak and hold the gun in my house.
Right.
And so they haven't shot anybody or themselves, or nor do they want to kill anybody.
Right.
But my kids do know how to shoot. I go to shoot range, my wife goes to shoot range, we have no problem. It doesn't mean we're less of Christians or nothing like that.
Nothing,
but some people
do
act
that
like
at
that. I'm not training myself to kill. I'm training myself to protect myself. If killing is necessary, then I will.
Right.
I have no problem with that. If it's self-defense, I'm not going to kill out of anger. I'm killing out of concern or fear of my life or of my loved ones or for people I'm with.
Right.
That's why. If I'm in, if my life is in danger, yes, I don't mind taking the life of someone who's putting my life in danger or my family's life. Because I feel like as a father, as a man, that's my responsibility to protect and provide for my family.
Wow, this is, I didn't even see this response right here.
What you got?
So one guy says, well, I go by maturity and personality.
Yeah.
He said, my oldest boy learned at 6, his brother at 8, my 2 girls at 6 and 9. It all depends on their personality.
True.
Very true. And that's what we was talking about a child being competent.
Yeah.
Enough. So he, as we say, all goes by maturity. He gave the ages that they were mature enough to start learning.
Yeah.
He said, 2 are now cops. 1 is a federal guard and the other one is a fireman. Nothing wrong. He said, oh, and I taught them all to drive at 12. ride a motorcycle at 14 and skydive at 15.
Dang, he said, skydive, that's dope.
Right, he said, just because some parents have scared, timid, boring lives doesn't mean we all have to follow.
I like him.
And
I
if
like
that's
him.
Not your cup of tea, so be it. I drink coffee.
I like that, man.
Yes,
I, like
I love it. I love it. I don't know how I didn't see his comment
earlier. That's my favorite comment on the subject.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, it's like, he just said it all.
He
you
did.
Know,
he really did.
He really covered many, because many of the other posts, you know, kids, people were talking about the child being competent enough to understand about a gun and stuff like that. My one of my uncles, he said, yes, his dad taught him at six, but he started off with BB guns.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm going to teach you at an early age, but I'm going to teach you with something that can't harm anyone until you get to the maturity level to know how this is harmful on top of knowing how to hit your target.
Exactly.
So I'm like that too. Yeah, that was, and I got my, I'm just reading my high school classmate. She says, yes, there is no set age. Like anything else in life, some people are ready to learn early. This is her response to what he said. Mm-hmm. Learn early. Others may never be mature enough to handle a weapon.
That's true.
That's very true.
She said, they're in jail. A lot of them are in jail because of that.
Exactly. She said, I coach fencing. I coach fencing, and I've seen five-year-olds, five-year-olds were serious. Like she said, she's seen five-year-old fencers that she's been teaching that were serious, and high school kids nearly killing somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So she said, it takes effort to hurt someone, and fencing as the sport is set up with safety as top priority. Every kid is different.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's really, the maturity is a huge responsibility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then, you know, a desire on top of that. So it's, I have one brother said, in the black community, yes, understand in the white community, they are teaching them. See, there are certain things we are behind on. The average black man can't shoot a gun nor swim. I take my wife. I train her to shoot a gun, a bow, and a knife. And I would do the same with my kids. It's like a condom. I'd rather have one on and not need it than not have it on. Plus, if you don't see it in America, there's a huge race war brewing. Be ready. Yes. I've been hearing about race wars since I was a kid.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
And I'm not saying that. You know, I believe in the Word of God, and I know it's only going to get worse from here. So if one did break out, it wouldn't shock me, although I have not read about one, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But either way it go, white people are training their kids at early ages because they are prepping their kids for a race war.
Wow.
And that part I do know for a fact, and I also know for a fact the Nation of Islam is the only, I would say, religion that is prepared for a race war.
Yeah.
Because they have, their discipline is phenomenal, just hands down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like the white folks. They military base. You know, they're training themselves on how to shoot their kids, how to shoot. So, you know, it's kind of sad that you have to do that. But like I said, I'm teaching my kids everything, you know, from a rifle to a bow and arrow, like my man said, to a gun, because Lord forbid I leave this earth anytime soon. But if I do, my kids going to know how to protect themselves.
Yeah.
You know, so true. I have three older boys, and they must know how to be a protector.
Exactly.
You know? I don't see how you could be a father and not teach your boys and your girls, your kids, period. Because if you don't have boys, that don't mean you ain't supposed to teach your daughter how to protect herself.
Exactly.
Or the family if you're not nowhere around. To me, it goes, no matter what sex you are.
To me, it's a tool. At the end of the day, they need to know how to use it. That's my
personal
opinion.
Period. And it's of course, it's not a play toy. It's strictly for protection and safety. You know, like my man said, I'd rather have it and not need it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's the whole point of carrying. Like, you know, so you can have it if you need it.
Right.
You can have it if you need it. So, you know, with that being said, I do think it's great to teach your kids. And, you know, white people, you said white people earlier, all of them aren't raising it.
Oh, no, they're all not. If I did say that, please forgive me.
I
want
to make sure.
Oh, no, all of them are not.
I
want
to make sure you're not generalizing. That's
dangerous. Yeah, my bad. Not all of them not. All of them not.
But I do know a lot of white people, and the ones I know that shoot guns, they grew up shooting guns because they hunt. A lot of them are deer hunters.
Yeah.
And they might be being trained as well as to for race war, but at least if you teach the kids how to shoot a gun, it comes in handy if you're gonna need to be in a position where you need to hunt.
True.
Very seriously. True. Very but true. Anyway, so we gave y'all four topics. Yusuf didn't know any of the topics we're gonna talk about. Nobody knew other than myself. It was a great position. It was
I'm
fun.
Gonna hit him with that about 2 weeks from now.
I believe it's coming. We had a great fun talking to you guys today. I just want to thank y'all for tuning in once again. Also, I want to remind y'all that if you miss the 12 o'clock release every Monday, it's cool. You don't have to miss the show because you missed our release time.
Right.
Our shows are uploaded. And you can listen to them at any given time.
So
at 12:01 on Monday afternoon, you can listen to any show. You can go to Buzzsprout, Crosstalk, I'm sorry, crosstalk.buzzsprout.com and hear any of our 24 episodes.
Right.
Over and over if you want to. You can download them if you have Wi-Fi limited internet access. You can download them. You can listen to them at the gym on your way to work while you're cleaning. I listen to a lot of ours while I'm cleaning, when I just have time just to kind of zone out and listen. I do that. So y'all can do the same thing. If you have any topics you want to talk about or discuss, hit us up at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Any questions, any prayer requests, anything. We do pray for our listeners. We love you guys. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. I'm not going to close out. I just want to give some shout-outs real quick before we close out.
All right.
Man, you know what is crazy, Plus? That Tokyo's not number one this week, man. We got a new contender.
For real?
We got a new contender in the arena right now. This is our home team right now. Fayetteville, Georgia is number one.
All right, Fayetteville. I hope I know that person.
Shout-outs to Fayetteville, Georgia for tuning in.
Appreciate y'all, Fayetteville.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania tuned in.
Eli.
Spokane, Washington, shout outs, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Atlanta, I'm glad to see you on here, being that we are in Atlanta. So right, thank you for tuning in and showing us that Atlanta love.
Right.
Phoenix, Arizona, tuned in again. Thank you, Phoenix, Arizona. Shout outs to Tacoma, Washington.
Hi.
Shout out to Spanaway, Washington. Shout out to Conyers, Georgia.
Hi.
Shout out to Bear Park, Washington. Man, we got a lot of love.
A lot of Washington, boy.
Is loving us. All shout right. out to Washington. Thank y'all for being our number one, not even our number one city, but our number one state.
Yes.
Washington showed like four or five times this time, y'all. So shout out to everybody listening to Washington. Thank you so much for tuning in. We love you guys. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Puzz.
Crosstalk
Radio.
Peace.